You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Following a dominant effort against White Sox ace Chris Sale on Sunday, the Twins return home to kick off an enormous 10-game homestand with momentum on their side. Welcome to MLB.com Extras Minnesota Twins. Matt Wehmeyer joined by Twins reporter Rhett Bollinger. Rhett, thank you for your time this week as we speak on a Monday afternoon, and I think it's safe to say that Chris Sale is not going to be sending greeting cards to anyone on the Twins during the holidays. Sale ties a career low on Sunday, a three-inning start, and two of those three-inning starts have come against the Twins this season. Can anybody in that Minnesota clubhouse begin to explain the team's staggering success against one of the game's truly dominant pitchers?
That really is amazing. I think his ERA this year against the Twins is above six. I think he's 1-4 in the six starts against the Twins. They pretty much beat up on him every start now the last, you know, four or five times. The Twins really haven't found a way to explain it, maybe because they know something they don't really want to give away. There's just maybe a chance that they're seeing something, maybe that he's tipping his pitches. That could be kind of something they're seeing from him, but it really is hard to explain. I mean, this guy's one of the best pitchers in baseball. They'll get a strikeout sometimes against the Twins, but you know, they kind of jump on his fastball, and, you know, 2000 hit the big home run there in the first inning. It's been hard to explain, but definitely a big reason for their success this year. I think the Twins went, 13-9 against the White. Sorry, 13-6 against the White Sox. That's a big reason for why they're still in it right now.
What about on the flip side of things, Rhett? Has Sale himself had any sort of explanation why he struggles so mightily against the Twins?
Not really. I think he's more anything just really frustrated. You really can't figure it out. I think just kind of his starts right now, he kind of just gets bugged by these Twins. I think in the past, it was just kind of those big rallies that kind of string together some hits. I said yesterday was more of a big three-run home run early. I don't think he's really figured out a way to explain it yet. And I think if he could, he'd probably try to find a way to change it and to fix it. But I'm definitely very curious to see how it goes next year, see if he can make adjustments. Because, I figure he's probably going to be in that rotation again unless the White Sox decide to trade him. But, going forward, to see if the Twins can keep us up, because he has been so dominant throughout his career. And just such a strange thing. Because last year, really, the Twins didn't really beat up on him much. And all of a sudden, this year, it's really been one of those things where every time they face him, they've had good numbers against him.
Yeah, one of those really mysterious things about the Twins, of course, are not complaining. You made reference to that three-run homer that came off the bat of Torrey Hunter on Sunday. Torrey drives in four. He's now batting .314 in September after badly slumping in July and August, something that we addressed last week. Is he kind of forcing Paul Molitor's hand right now a little bit in terms of earning playing time over some of the younger guys like Buxton and Hicks and Rosario, to name a few?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, right now he's really playing pretty well. Obviously, that was July and August. Numbers are very bad. It's kind of getting mixed in here and there to keep him fresh. That kind of plan at least works in the sense that this September he's been very good. The 300 home run was his first home run in more than a month, but a very big one. And he's really been hitting the ball really well all month. So it's one of those things where we'll kind of see how he gets mixed in. I got to figure that the Twins like their defensive output right now, and they can throw Buxton in the center and throw in Rosario and Hicks. It's kind of a nice little combination of just speed and good arms in the outfield. But I do think with the way that Hunter's hitting right now, especially against left-handers and guys where he can kind of drive the ball, he's going to get mixed in there and play some right field and maybe even DH in some days where they want to give Snell a rest with his hamstring. I think he's kind of forcing the hand. The good thing is, if he continued to slump, they might have had to kind of just back off him almost the rest of the month and kind of play him really sparingly and kind of just mixing those young guys. But right now, with his bat being as potent as it's been, you got to figure that he's going to get more playing time here down the stretch, and especially, like I said, against left-handers and guys like that.
And, Rhett, how invaluable is it for the Twins to have a guy like Torrey Hunter who can impart his knowledge and his experience on guys who are still very wet behind the ears, all the talent in the world, but not the experience yet, like Buxton and Miguel Sano?
Yeah, definitely. Even if you look at guys like Brian Dozier and Trevor Plouffe, guys that have been around for a little while, they've never been in a postseason race like this before. The Twins haven't really been competitive in September since 2010. Really only a couple of guys have been around. I think Dunsing and Perkins and Maurer were probably the only three guys on that team that were even around the last time the Twins were competitive. So, to have, a guy like Hunter who's been there and done that, has been in the postseason plenty with the Twins, Angels and Tigers, to have them kind of be a leader. And Molitor, too, is a guy that, has been around there, a long Hall of Fame career and kind of keeps these guys loose. It really hasn't been an issue so far. Every time they've had a little bit of a setback, whether it was getting swept in New York and they bounced right back from it. I mean, the start of the year when they were 1-6, they bounced right back. So every time you think the Twins are dead, they keep finding ways to kind of come alive and have big series, especially on the road. Another winning road trip against some tough teams there. Just having Hunter around to kind of help these guys around is definitely helpful. But we saw last year, too, a team like the Royals that was full of a lot of young guys and a lot of guys who hadn't been there. got all the way to the World Series. You never know how much experience really does help, but it does help to at least have a guy in the room that's been through a lot of that and can kind of, you know, talk to these guys and calm them down for some of these bigger games and explain to them kind of how it goes during the, you know, postseason race like this.
And, Rhett, I certainly don't want to overlook the effort on Sunday of Kyle Gibson. He was fantastic. All the talk about, you know, Torrey Hunter and Chris Sale, deservedly so, but you cannot forget about Gibson. 7-2/3 scoreless. He is now 4-0 against the White Sox in his career. ERA of 2.13. And in three September starts, he has an ERA under 3. Is this the most consistent stretch you've seen from him this season?
I think he might have been a little more consistent early in the year, that first half. He was very good. I think he ended the first half with an ERA below 3 and had a nice little stretch there going into the second half. One back-to-back starts going into the break that last week there, giving the Twins a 6-1 record going into the All-Star break. But right now, yeah, this last three, it's definitely important for him to kind of get back on track. He did kind of fall off there a little bit in late July and August after such a strong start. And you never kind of wondered if he was tiring maybe or kind of, you know, all the innings were kind of starting to add up a little bit over the last couple of years. Another young guy, you know, only a couple of years removed from Tommy John and all that, but he's been stronger recently. I mean, you know, his previous start before his good start there on Sunday in Kansas City, you know, gets blasted for 4 runs on the first 9 pitches of the game, but then ends up settling in and getting his first complete game. So he's been kind of showing that he can bounce back from kind of some of the adversity, which last year was kind of his biggest issue. I think his ERA in losses was, you know, astronomical. I want to say it was like above 11 or 12. So he's one of those guys that last year was either really on his game or really off his game. And I think this year he's found ways, even when he doesn't have his best stuff, to get through it. And I think the good news for the Twins right now is it seems like his good stuff is back, especially these last 3 starts here.
You know, it's always fun to look back at the trade deadline and see what moves panned out, which moves did not. I think the acquisition of Kevin Jepsen has certainly panned out for the Twins and then some. He's been terrific. It really wasn't headline news when the Twins acquired him, but especially with Glenn Perkins nursing that bad back, Jepsen stepped into that closer's role. And as we've seen time and again, not everybody is built for the ninth inning. They may have all the, you know, $1 million arm, but just not the mentality to pitch the ninth inning. We're clearly seeing that Jepsen does. How great and how invaluable has he been at the back end of that bullpen for Minnesota?
He's been a huge addition. And like you said, he wasn't like some sort of big headline news, wasn't a huge trade, kind of more of an under-the-radar type of thing. And I think some people are kind of mad at the Twins at the time, especially Twins fans who hadn't, you know, seen the team compete in a little couple years here, wanted to see the Twins kind of go all in and get a, you know, a big name pitcher, a big name hitter like Tulowitzki or something like that. But the Twins decided to kind of play a little more safe and not deal with some of their top prospects right now, kind of let those prospects continue to develop in the future while maybe adding an arm that maybe help them in the bullpen and Jepsen. And Jepsen was having, you know, a decent year with the Rays, but his walk rate was kind of up. But sure enough, he's been, ever since he's been on the Twins, I think his first outing was a little bit rocky, but ever since then, he's been totally lights out. He's been great as a closer, and it's been, you know, really important, like you said, with Perkins out, to have somebody in there to kind of fill in and take that rollover. The pitch as well as he has, it's definitely been a big reason for their success in, you know, recent weeks here. I think the Twins going into the ninth inning with a lead, I believe they're 63-1 this year. So part of it was Perkins was so good for so long, but then when Perkins got hurt, instead of having, you know, the ninth inning become an issue with some of the younger guys or just a guy who can't handle that role, Jepsen came in and he's done a great job with that. And like I said, he's got the experience to do that. You know, he pitched in the postseason with the Angels. He's closed, I think, 5 games for the Rays this year, and I think he's filled in as a temporary closer here and there with the Angels. So something he's used to. But yeah, right, that trade so far has looked great for them. And the nice thing for the Twins, too, is that Jepsen's also under contract for next year. So we'll actually have him for next year, too, as a top setup reliever to Perkins. So they're in good shape with that trade. It ended up working out pretty well. The bullpen needed a little bit of a boost, and Jepsen's definitely provided that.
And, Rhett, is there any possibility at all of a closer controversy once Glenn Perkins gets healthy, or is it pretty much set in stone? He is the ninth inning guy. Jepsen moves back as a setup man.
I think there's no really controversy, but I think what they'll do is that Perkins will come back and they'll have him kind of ease back into that role. Kind of similar to before, when he had his back injury, he came in for one outing and kind of pitched there, I think it was the 7th inning, just to kind of get back into the flow of things. And in case, you know, if he suffered a setback, you know, would be only in the 7th inning. It wouldn't be a thing where they had to scramble to bring in a closer to replace him in the 9th. So, yeah, I think early on, I think when he first comes back here, I'll probably put him in the 7th inning, that kind of stuff, kind of let him ease back into it. I don't know how many appearances before he'll be ready to close, but I do think that, Motter's going to play it safe and let Jepsen close until Perkins proves that he's healthy. But I do think once Perkins kind of has a couple outings under his belt and is healthy, he'll be the closer again just because, you know, he's been an elite closer for the last 3 years here, and just because he's had an injury recently doesn't mean he should lose. That's close to shot.
And Rhett, to wrap up here, we talked about Mike Pelfrey last week and his struggles about three, four starts in a row. Seems to have bounced back nicely last week against the Royals, 5 1/3, just one run. Did that start save his spot in the rotation, at least for now?
Yeah, a little bit. I think part of it, too, is that they also wanted to kind of push back Tyler Duffy, you know, rookie's innings limits, kind of not kind of approaching here. He's pitched about 20 more innings than last year, so he's trying to take it easy with Duffy. And he had a start skip there. He's starting again tonight on Monday, but I think one of those things where Pelfrey otherwise might have been pushed out of the rotation, but for now, they're going to kind of go with a modified six-man rotation with Duffy still in there and Pelfrey still in there, and then Hughes is returning on Tuesday. So it's kind of altered. I think we'll kind of see how it goes. Pelfrey still could maybe drop out of it with another couple bad starts. But you're right, he hit this pretty well there in Kansas City, well enough to at least consider be considered a starter for now, and we'll kind of see how he does here. See if they want to stick with the six-man rotation, or if he falters, if they decide they want to go back to the five-man and kind of just try to find little off days or ways to push back Duffy here and there.
Twins reporter Rhett Bollinger, thanks as always, and Rhett will do it again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you. This is Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Minnesota Twins.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.